We're going to look in the Word of God this morning. I was reading something this past week, or last week, I guess it was, and they said, "Are you a sad pastor?" And S-A-D, but he had big capital letters, so I knew they weren't just talking about being sad. But they called it the seasonal attendance deficiency in churches. They said it begins at Father's Day and goes to Labor Day, and people just sort of dwindle away, especially in North America where we got cold winters and you only get a few days of heat. And so everybody, you know, I came in this morning. I said, "Man, we've got more cars out in the parking lot than we got people in the church." But eventually we started to fill up. I think everybody brings two cars. And you never got that. But anyway, but God is good. And His blessings are upon us all the time. The Bible says His mercy is new every morning. Thank God. Thank God for His mercy. None of us would have a chance without God's mercy. And He's so good to us. So good to us. Praise God. We're going to look in the Word of God this morning, but before we do, I just want to ask you a question and just get some feedback here. Not necessarily feedback, just a show of hands, I guess. How many of you in the past has needed God to do something for you special? All of us. All of us. And, you know, it could be a physical thing, could be a financial thing. How many, say, for instance, you had a financial struggle somewhere along the line, and you say, "God, somehow you got to help me through this because I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what's going on," you know. And how many times has God come through for you? Right? Somewhere along the line, God works things out and you come through for you. Now, let me ask you another question. Sometime later, maybe a year later, 6 months later, how many had another crisis of the same kind? And what do? Do we worry so much about the second one as we did the first one? We always do. We say, "I wonder what we're going to do this time." What, you know, and we forget what God has already done for us. And, you know, we have to be careful of that. And it's so easy sometimes to forget what God said in His Word because we start to think, we start to reason, "Now, what am I going to do this time? You know, last time God came through for me, but I don't know if He's going to do it this time." And we start to reason things out. When we start to reason things out, we lose sight of what God said. And so I've entitled the message this morning, "Don't Contradict God." And it's so easy for us to do that. I don't think we try to do it intentionally, but we need to be careful that we don't contradict what God is saying. And it's so easy to do that. Over in Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus had just healed a lot of people, cast out demons, and everything was all excited, and people were all bouncing off the walls almost because of what Jesus was doing. And they're out in this large area, large field area on the side of a mountain, and Jesus was teaching them, and the Bible says the people brought their sick to Him, and they were being healed. He cast out demons, and then it started to get late in the evening, and they said, "Well, you know, why don't we send the people home, because there's not enough, you know, they've been here for a long time and they're hungry." And Jesus, just to make the story short, Jesus feeds the 5,000 people. And everybody gets so excited. And they said, "Man, we're going to make Him the king. Because if He can do this, if He can heal the sick, if He can raise the dead, I mean, what army can fight against us? You know, who can stand against us if we got a king like that?" And so they tried to make Jesus the king. And Jesus got to the, you know, He said to His disciples, "You fellows get the boat, go to the other side," and different things. But the Bible says there in one place, when the disciples, this is in 16 and verse 5 now, when the disciples had come to the other side, they forgot to take bread. Now remember, Jesus just earlier that day fed 5,000 people. Now keep that in mind, okay? And when He got to the other side, they forgot to take bread. And the Bible says here, Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, leaven is an old word for, well, I don't know if it's an old word, but anyway, it's a word for yeast when you put it in your bread. You know, it makes the bread rise and things like this. And the disciples, I mean, they weren't in the spiritual plane at all. They were just thinking natural things. And Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, we would say the Pharisees and Sadducees were almost like two denominations in that day. The Pharisees believed everything that we believe, but they never had a relationship with God. They were just obeying rules. The Pharisees were what we would say orthodox belief. But the Sadducees, they had a lot of problems. This is what somebody said, this is what they're called sad, you see. They had a lot of problems. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels and all these different things. They're always trying to stump Jesus on something like the resurrection or things like that. And so you had these two groups, and Jesus said to the disciples, you be careful after leaven, after Sadducees, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And notice what happened there. And they reasoned among themselves, this is verse 7 now, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. You know, here they are, they're on the other side of the lake now, and they're wondering about what they're going to eat. And Jesus just fed 5,000. And now they're wondering, what are we going to do? We never took any bread. And notice what, and the Bible says, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we take no bread. All they were thinking about leaven was the yeast in the ordinary bread. Jesus wasn't talking about that at all. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you've brought no bread. He said, don't you understand yet, or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up there? He said, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak concerning the bread? He said, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they understood then that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I just want to use that as a kickoff point, but before we do, let's just bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the Word of God. And Father, today we approach it reverently and humbly. We ask that the Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us and help us to see something in this, Lord, that not just to fill up another Sunday morning service, but Father, something that we can put into practice in our daily lives and grow to become more like Jesus and trust you more and stand on the Word of God more. And we thank you for your blessings. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, remember one time Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let us go over to the other side. And the Bible says Jesus was tired and he went back and he lay down in the back of the ship and went to sleep. And the Bible says a big storm came up and Jesus was just sleeping through the storm. And this storm got so bad. I mean, these are fishermen. They've been out on the water all their lives. They didn't know what storms are like. But the Bible says they were fearing for their lives. And eventually he went back and woke up Jesus. And they said, don't you care? He said, they said, that we're drowning? And it's interesting. I was reading the week and I'm going to look at these two words in a minute. He said, why are you so fearful? Now, get this. Why are you so fearful? He said, where's your faith? See, when faith is there, fear can't be there. But when fear comes in, faith leaves. So we got to be very careful. Wasn't one of the presidents, Roosevelt or somebody, one of them, he said, we've got nothing to fear except fear itself. If we allow fear to come into our lives, it will destroy us and destroy our faith. So Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Where's your faith? He knew that something happened. I mean, they should have been all faith. I mean, Jesus just healed all these sick people, opened blind eyes and whatever. The Bible just said he healed many. And cast out demons, the Bible says, and fed the 5,000, calmed the storm, and all these different things. And then when something else comes up, all that goes out the window and they forget about it and they start reasoning amongst themselves, reasoning in your mind and trying to figure out, what are we going to do now? Instead of realizing that, listen, we got Jesus in the boat with us. Jesus is with us in the midst of the storm. He said, I'll be with you in trouble. But thank God he never left us here. He said, and I'll deliver you. Psalm chapter 91 there. He said, I'll be with you in trouble and I will deliver you because you've put your trust in me or because you his name. So we need to understand something. And the Bible tells us that fear came in. Now, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. That's another verse. I'll get that in a minute. The Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. And again, notice this, a sound mind. They were reasoning amongst themselves. When you start to reason things out that's contrary to God's word, you're contradicting what God is saying. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. I mean, they should have listened to what Jesus, I mean, here's a living word right in their midst. You know, they should have listened to that. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. But they were thinking, oh, we're going to drown. See, they were contradicting what God said. You understand what I'm saying? By their reasoning. And when we start to reason, now I'm not saying just turn your brain off and go lay out. But when it comes to God's word, don't allow yourself to think differently than what God thinks. Don't allow yourself to say differently than what God says in his word. You know, and so we need to be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to come in. Because the Bible tells us that fear is that of God. Matter of fact, Paul calls it here a spirit of fear. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. It's not from God. It's from the enemy. So anytime fear comes into your life, anytime something comes up, if it's a financial crisis or a sickness or a disease or some other thing, you know, you have to be careful. You don't allow fear come in, you know. And, I know myself better than I know you fellows, so I'm just going to use this my own illustration. You know, it's easy to allow fear to come in. If you start thinking about what the doctors are saying, if you think about what the tests are saying, if you think about all these different things, you know, it's easy to allow fear to come in, but you can't allow that. Jesus, why are you so fearful? I've already told you what's going to happen. We're going to go to the other side. You know, and so we have to be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to come in and start to play with our minds. Tracy and I were here a couple weeks ago, and they sang a song, I'm not letting anybody. Now, there's verses to it. We sing it in Newfoundland all the time, and I can only remember two or three words in the first line. Talk about a man named Jesus, talk of Calvary, or sing of Calvary, something like that. Anyway, it ends up, sing of all the good things that God has brought into your life. But anyway, the chorus is, I'm not letting anybody steal my joy. I used to have it written on, when I was in one of the churches in Newfoundland, I just drew it myself, made a little bit of artwork with it, and put it right in front of my desk when I sit down. The desk was up against the wall, and every time I sat down at the desk, I said, I'm not letting anybody steal my joy. You know, and because you have to keep your mind focused upon the Word of God. The devil is there all the time trying to cause problems and get you sidetracked and to contradict what God is saying. And the chorus is, I'm not letting anybody steal my joy. I won't let the devil my mind employ. I have informed him that I'm not his toy. So I'm not letting anybody steal my joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Right? And if you lose your joy, you lose your strength. So we have to be very careful that we don't allow the devil to come in and contradict what God is saying in his word. So when fear comes in, like I said, when fear comes in, faith goes out. Fear and faith are complete opposites. Sometimes we say faith and doubt, but really it's faith and fear. Fear is the complete opposite of, you see, faith. Well, we know how faith works. Or we should, anyway. I mean, there's our trust in God. We believe it and we don't change our mind. Remember the videos we're going through there, you have one track mind. You know, you don't see two outcomes. Well, but this works. No, you have one outcome. And you keep that in your mind and you keep aiming towards it. Jesus had one outcome. He said, we're going to the other side. They had all kinds of outcomes. We're going to drown. We're going to end up on the bottom. Jesus, no, we're going to the other side. See? But their reasoning was contradicting what Jesus said. Now, so faith and fear work in the same way. They work on the same principles, the same law, if you want to call it that. But they end up with different results. Okay? Faith is when you believe God and you trust God and eventually you see the manifestation of whatever you believe in God for. Fear causes worry and you're doing the very same thing, just in the opposite direction. You're thinking about it all the time. You're worrying about it all the time. Your mind is going over and over and over about everything that's going to happen, all the bad things are going to take place, all these different things. You have to be very careful in that area because the devil will play with your mind and wear you down if you're not careful and get you to start contradicting what God is saying in his word. You know, if you can keep yourself focused on God's word, you can have victory. But if you keep yourself worrying all the time, I grew up, I told you this before, you know, when we were growing up, my mother, we used to call her the champion warrior. I mean, you know, I told you the story a little while ago, I think. But I can remember one time, my brother used to work in Gander, which is about a half an hour from where we lived. He worked in, some place in Gander at the time. And I was probably 15, 16 years old. And he was 2 years older than me, so he was 17 or 18. Just getting his first job and stuff like that, and got his license and things like this, and bought a new car and different things. But if you know anything about Newfoundland, there's a lot of moose in Newfoundland. You know, Dave and Darlene knows about that. And we were there a few years ago and struck one. And but anyway, Ron was down there. Ron and Sharon, we took them down 1 year, and we were long time, never saw a moose anywhere. And Ron said, I don't even believe it was in a year. But we saw, I think it was 11 or 12 one night, 13 or something. And just, you know, one after the other. You just get the right road or the wrong road, whatever. But anyway, in Newfoundland, like, there was a lot of moose. And we lived in an area where there was a fair-sized moose population on the highway. There's always people in accidents. And two or three people from our town got killed by moose and things like this. So if my brother got off work, say, 12 o'clock midnight, it was a half an hour drive, so you get, you know, time you get home is about 45 minutes or so, the time you get out to your vehicle and whatever. And I can remember Mom, and we all do this as parents sometimes. If your children are out, you're always looking out the window. Every car passing the road, you're wondering if this is, you know, your son or your daughter coming home type of thing, you know. And it's just, I guess, concern in one sense. But Mom took it to the extra step, you know. And if my brother never showed up, say, by 1 o'clock in the morning, well, she was walking the house, pacing the floor and everything else. And I remember one particular night, you know, it just really got to her. And she was saying, you know, I don't suppose he struck a moose. I wonder now, is he in there on the side of the road somewhere like that? And it's dark tonight, nobody around. He's probably, you know, just lying on the side of the road or in the car or something like that. And I mean, by the time she finished all this, she had him already in the casket. How are we going to pay for the funeral? How are we going to do this? You know, just worry, worry, worry. You know, and I grew up in that kind of a atmosphere. And you got to be careful, because the devil can try to put you back into that, and you can't allow it to happen. I was listening to a fellow preach a while ago. Remember Paul? The Bible talked about when they were on the way to Rome, and they got in a big storm, and the ship all broke up and different things, and they ended up on the Isle of Miletus, Malta today. And even in Malta today, they got a bay there called St. Paul's Bay. That's where the storm, you know, where it came ashore there. And the Bible says that, you see, because let me just sidetrack from the message a little bit, for instance, for a few minutes here. People look at, you know, what's the devil's attacked and everything else, right? And there's all kinds of speculation. People say, I wonder what he did wrong now. I wonder, is there sin in his life? I wonder, you know, why God is judging him. I wonder this and all that kind of stuff, like, you know. And sometimes God allows a snake to bite you. The Bible says they were making a fire, and when Paul was putting some wood on the fire, a viper came out and latched onto him. You know? And the Bible says, now this is a poisonous viper of some kind, venom or whatever, you know, is in it. And the Bible says that the natives on the island, they said, surely this man must be a murderer or something. And fate is not going to allow him to live because, you know, even though he got out of the sea okay, he's going to die. And the Bible says they watched him. And I guarantee you there's people watching me and says, I wonder how much longer he got to live. I wonder how much longer he's going to make it. You know? And they watched him, the Bible says, for a long time. Sometimes people, you say, how's the pastor? Well, boy. You know, he don't look very good. You know, and just look at the watch and see how long it's going to take. You know, and this is what you're doing. You're just looking at Paul and wondering, how much longer is he going to live? Get that out of your mind. I'm not even thinking that way. I'm going to live for a long time. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. But anyway, but you know, the thing is, some of you want me to live anyway. But the thing is, they were looking, expecting him to die. But our minds are so fickle, you know. Just, and the Bible says that eventually Paul shook it off, because it latched on. The Bible says it was hanging on to his arm. So, I mean, we could look at it and say, you know, this latched on and it's just hanging on, and everybody's looking and saying, how much longer? You know, he looks weaker than he did last week. You know, he's got no hair left now. But I'm trying to be like John Armstrong there. He's my hero, so just, you know, and it's easy to you know, look at these things and say, how much longer, you know? And that's what you're doing. You just look at your clocks, probably, or sundials, or whatever you had that day. You know, just look at Paul. When is he going to die? And the Bible says, when he didn't die, he changed your mind instantly. Well, he must be a god. You know, how we change things. You know, our minds. You know, and the devil will attack your mind and try to get you to contradict God's word because your mind is changing all the time. It's like our feelings. You know, like the chorus we sing to. I'd rather live by faith than try to make up. Feelings will rearrange. But God's word will never change. It's forever settled in heaven. So I'd rather live by faith than try to make it on feelings. So anyway, when fear comes in, it drives out faith. It contradicts God's word. And I want us to go back at something, because what was happening, the disciples were contradicting what Jesus said. Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. Now, how many know when God says something is going to happen? You know, now let me say something. If God came to you and says, I am the Lord that heals you. You know, you saw a vision or something. You know, if you're going through some sickness or whatever, I am the Lord that heals you. Or if you're going through a financial crisis, he comes in and says, listen, I supply all your needs. Don't worry about a thing. Now, how many is going to believe that? If God is standing up in front of you and says that Jesus or stand up, how many would believe that? See, there's no difference. He's already told us this. He's already told us this, and we got to believe that just as real as if he stood up in person right in front of us and told us that very thing. Because this is forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change. He said it once, and he meant it, and he don't have to say it over and over, and over, even though there's many places in Scripture where he did tell us. But you understand what I'm saying? When we see a promise in God's word, we need to take it just as real as if we had a vision and he spoke to us. You know, we need to understand that God's word is forever settled. So if it was true 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked in, it's true today. You understand? It's just as real today as the day that he spoke it. And so we need to understand it. But no, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2 and 3. It's interesting, you know, how many times you got to go back to Genesis. A few weeks ago I preached and I had to go back to Genesis. Because everything started back there. This is where all the problems started. And if you want to understand what's going on today, you got to understand what happened back there. Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God said to Adam, he said, you know, told him about the trees in the garden and different things. He said, of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, he said, you should not eat. He said, for the day that you eat thereof, he said, you will surely die. Okay? Now, that's what God said. He said, the day that you eat, he said, you will surely die. Now, if you go to chapter 3 and verse 4, Satan comes along in the form of a serpent to Eve, and he said, what did God say about the tree? And Eve told him, you know. And notice what Satan says, the last part of the verse, you will not surely die. See, he's contradicting what God said. That's the first contradiction we have in Scripture of what God said. You understand it? And the devil works because if he can get, and Eve believed that. See, once you start to listen to the devil's lies, and he'll work at you for a while, he may come the first time and say something, you say, oh, I reject it, I rebuke it, and I won't receive that. I just, no, not accepting that whatsoever. But see, he's had a long time to practice. He's been around 6,000 or 7,000 years working at man. He's learned all the tricks and everything else. And we live 30, 40, 50 years, and we think we can conquer anything, you know. But the devil's got plans and schemes and devices and ways to wear you down. And this is what you got to be always careful of. Listen, the thing is, if you digress and start believing what he's saying, you're in trouble. This is why it's so important to always have God's word. Get up every morning, read God's word. You got these little devotionals. Take those, read God's word. Keep your focus every morning. Keep your through the day. Keep your focus back to the North Star, so to speak, so you can see where you're going. But if you get off course and let other things come in, the devil will just play with your mind, and eventually you look back and say, man, you know, 5 years ago, I'd never allowed that to happen in the family. 5 years ago, I would never let this go on. You know, because what we've done, we've listened to the devil, and we just got off, and unknowingly, we start to contradict what God said. Because God says one thing, and we say, yeah, but now the doctor said this. You know, God says this, yeah, but, you know, the bank won't give me the loan. But God said this, that he's going to supply our... Yeah, but, you know, I got no job. You know, and we start to digress because we start to reason things instead of getting back to God's word and say, listen, Lord, I don't care if I got no job. I don't care if the bank turns me down. I don't care if the doctor says this or that. God, I'm believing what you said in your word. And if we keep that as our focus, we'll do okay. But if we start to digress from that, we start to contradict what God said. And this is what the devil works at. So if he can get us to contradict God's word, he'll defeat us every time. And this is what was going on here, because Adam and Eve, and Eve start to believe this, and the Bible tells us over, you know, and over in Corinthians here, that the serpent beguiled Eve. He tricked her. He's a trickster. Jesus said he's a murderer. He's a liar. He said he's a liar. He said when he speaks a lie, he said he speaks from himself. He's always been a liar. He said even from the beginning he was a liar. But yet for all we listen to him sometimes. Many times we listen to him. And so we need to be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to come in and get into our thought life and everything else. In let me see where I can go from here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He said, because we're not ignorant of his devices. One translation says, the English Standard Version says, that we should not be outwitted by Satan, because he's going to try to outwit you. Another translation, the International Standard Version says, that we won't be outsmarted by Satan. And he's going to try everything in his power to outsmart us, outwit us, trick us, deceive us, twist us, the truth of God's word, and bring in other things and get us to get our mind off the things of God. And if he can get us off the things of God, you know, he'll defeat us every time. Now, let me say, you know, you might go well, let's go back to sickness again. It's the easiest thing. You might go to a doctor, and the doctor will say, well, this is what this is. The CAT scan says this, the MRI says this, and the blood test says this, and all these different things. Now, you don't deny these facts. I mean, these are facts. I mean, you can't argue with it. I mean, they got pictures of it or whatever the case might be. You know, but you don't look at these things. If you're looking by faith, you keep your eyes upon the prize. You know, I was talking to Brother Bowbeard a week, actually. We call each other from time to time and talk to each other and encourage each other and whatever. And we were talking about something, and I told him I was going to preach this morning. And he said, wow. He said, hit him. And he said, or I was saying to him, I said, I got to go for a CAT scan now on July 10th. And I said, well, you know, we're going to believe for a good report. And I said, yeah, you know, I am. I said, but, now this is not lack of faith what I'm going to say here. I'm just stating the facts. If it's not a good report, I don't really care. Now, I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. I'm not trying to sound super high up or anything else. I don't really care, because that's not where my sight is at. You know, some people are just waiting for the next test to see how they work. I don't care about that. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. Is that something that bothers me? Because my sight is beyond that. My sight is beyond that. And if that comes in good report, thank God. If it comes in bad report, whatever. I'm just not going to be stuck at that spot and say, oh my, what am I going to do now? I'm looking beyond that because I believe that God has got a miracle in store. And I believe, honestly, that this is going to work out. You know, I honestly believe that. And but again, we've got to be careful. We don't allow fear to come in. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, W-I-L-E-S, is the King James, of the devil. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I put down the Strong's references. The word is, in Greek, is methodia, or methodia, I think the E is the word he put emphasis. Methodia is the same word where we get methods. You know, we do things by methods. He said, don't be, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the methods of the devil. The way, but it's not just normally methods, because you can have methods for good things, you can have methods for bad things. This word, when it talks about the wiles, he's talking about methods in the wrong direction. And this is what Strong's Concordance says about it. Number, if you want to look it up, is number 3180. Methodia or methyl, whatever. They said it's to travel over. And to go on to explain, is just something you go over and over and over in your mind all the time. It's just something that's just bothering you all the time. You know, the devil's just wearing you down all the time. He's just traveling through your mind. All these thoughts are just going, you're crazy, just driving you. You know, what am I going to do this? You know, doctor says this, the blood says this, this is that, you know, or the banker says this, and I can't afford this, and I can't do this, and I got a bill coming out, and I got another bill to pay next week, and I got, where am I going to get it all? And the devil's just playing in your mind, and you can't get to sleep nighttime, and, you know, and you're just in turmoil all the time. That's what the word method or wiles means. Okay, it's just playing with your mind all the time. It's trickery. In Ephesians 4 and 4, it's translated, that word is translated to lie in wait. Now notice what it says here in Ephesians 4, 14. He says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Be careful of the doctrine, the living of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Don't let your mind be going back and forth and back and forth. Yeah, I believe God's going to do something. Remember Keith Moore, when we were going through the videos? He said, let your wave of the sea. You know, yes, I believe God's going to do something. You know, oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I had a bad report this week. Next week, you know, something else happens. Oh, yeah, we're going to be wonderful. We're going to be great. God is bringing us through. I don't know. You know, we're like the waves of the sea just going up and down. He said, don't let that person think you'll get anything from God. That's God's word on it. Don't think you're going to get anything from God if you're like that. You've got to keep your eyes on focus. You understand? The Bible says Moses endured by keeping his eyes upon him who was invisible. Now, that's pretty difficult sometimes to keep your eyes on somebody who's invisible. That's where faith comes in. But Moses endured through all the rocky roads of trying to lead the children of Israel and all the storms and murmuring, complaining, and everything else that was going on. He endured because he kept his eyes upon him that is invisible. So anyway, it goes on to say, Tony Strong's Thayer, which is another Greek and Hebrew scholar, he says, the cunning arts of the devil is deceit, craftiness, and trickery. That's what the word wiles means. Okay, it says methods of trickery, it's methods of wearing you down. Strong says it's to be fraudulent, straying from orthodoxy or piety. It means deceit, to deceive, to bring a delusion or an error. That's what the word wiles mean. So Paul says, put on the full armor of God. You can stand against the wiles of the devil. Thayer puts it this way, and there's a bit of a long definition or words that he got there. A wandering away, you know, a straying, about one led astray from the right way, one that roams hither and thither. Mental straying, error, wrong opinion relative to morals or religion. Error which shows itself in action, a wrong mode of acting, that which leads into error, deceit, or fraud. That's what this word wiles mean. And what he's saying, the devil uses these things to wear us down, get us thinking the wrong way. If we can get us to think in contradiction to God's word, he got you. So you have to be always on guard, and that's why it's so important to always be in the house of the Lord, always be listening to the word of God being preached or read or read it yourself or listen to gospel music. Listen to things that are going to build you up constantly, because the world is filled with things that contradict God's word. You can turn on the news. You can turn on anything. You can turn on just sitcoms on TV. They always got things that are contrary to God's word, and they make it sound like wonderful things. You know, they have laughing and carrying on and jokes about things, but these things are contradicting God's word. So we have to be very careful. Don't contradict what God said in his word. Now, I got to have to get through this faster because I've been getting stuck on some scriptures here. You'll either believe what God said in his word, or somewhere along the line you're going to submit to the contradiction that the devil is saying. You understand it? You're either going to believe what God says in his word, or you'll let the devil wear you down and you'll start believing what he says, which is a contradiction to God's word, and you'll start believing that. If Satan can convince you that God's word won't work, he'll defeat you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I mentioned this verse earlier, he said, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve, as a serpent beguiled Eve or tricked her through his subtlety, so your minds, see, the devil always attacks the minds, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We have to be very careful because our minds, the devil's always, you see, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Paul said I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, we have the mind of Christ. You know, but that's not saying that you're going to think everything right, because the devil is still going to be hammering at you, trying to get you to think something different than what God thinks. See, we got to get this lined up with God's this. You understand? What God thinks, we got to think the very same way. And the devil is going to come in and he's going to attack your mind and try to get you off course and try to get you to think about something else. And if he can do that, he'll defeat you every time. So we can't allow that to allow the devil to do that. You're either going to meditate on God's word or you're going to meditate on the contradiction of God's word. And as long as we're meditating on the contradiction of God's word, will never work for us. Some people say, well, I don't understand. Well, it worked for that person, never worked for someone else. You know, and in the natural, we don't know which, you know, sometimes what's going on, you know. But the thing is, when we are in standing and meditating on God's word, you know, the devil's going to try to meditate or get you to meditate in other areas, you know. And so we have to be very careful. And that's okay with the baby. She's just enjoying herself. She's just saying amen in her language. And so we just go along with that. But the thing is, like, you know, we need to understand that the devil's going to try to get you meditating on the wrong thing. And that meditating on the wrong thing eventually is worry. And worry, the Bible says, fear brings fear. And fear brings torment. How many of you were worried about something nighttime and just tormented in your bed, can't get to sleep? See, we've all gone through that. But that's not from God. That is not from God. So when that happens, you don't think, I wonder what God is trying to tell me. God is not trying to tell you anything through that. That's the devil. The word of God says, perfect love cast out fear. Now, he's not talking about your love being perfect. You will never be able to love perfectly. He's talking about God's love. If we can only understand God's love for us, if we can only understand what he's done for us, his grace, I don't deserve the air I breathe. You know, and you got to understand that. I wish sometimes we could understand what it means to have a complete trust in God, because everything we have, see, we don't, how could I say it? You don't appreciate something until you lose it. You know, you understand that? You don't appreciate, you get up in the morning, open your eyes, and you can see around your bedroom until your eyes are, you can't see anymore. Then all of a sudden, man, you say, what I give just to be able to look around again. You know? You don't appreciate that you can get up and walk on two legs and just never had a problem. You just go on until something happens in your legs or your feet or something like that. And you say, man, I wish I could just do that again. I was saying to Pat, like, I get up now in the mornings, I can go out and I mean, there for a while. First of all, this broke. The devil was crazy at the beginning of it there. You know, I couldn't get up and shave myself. Pat went out and bought a liquid razor. She said, shave me in the bed. I just never had the energy. I couldn't even shave myself with the liquid razor. My arm would get up like that and drop it down. I remember she used to bring a popsicle into me just for something to cool. And I couldn't even hold a popsicle up. I said, bring in a bowl. I just lay it in the bowl and I just take it up and bite a piece off and lay it back down again. I just couldn't even hold that up. And I thought, man, you know, what I'd give to be able to just get up and walk around again. I go out and I get in the shower and I come out, I'd be shivering and my body would be just shaking, and I'd lie in the bed and you're just like this, you know, just be able to shake, you know, you're shivering so much. And I thought, man, you know. But in the midst of all that, honestly, I got to say, not because I'm super spiritual, I believe it's God. There was no fear that came with it. God put me in a bubble of peace. When the doctor told me the very first time, you got cancer, there's a bubble of peace that came. And I've been in that bubble ever since. And I intend to stay in that bubble. I tell you one thing, one night, now don't misunderstand, it was just after I got into the hospital, I was sitting in a chair at home, just lying back in the lazy-by chair, and a story came on TV, a movie, back probably 10, 15 years old now, probably 20 years old, I don't know, Terminator 2 or something, however far back that was, and I thought, I never ever looked at that, so I got nothing to do tonight, I'm just going to look at that. And this is probably just about a week or so after the hospital, feeling the peace of God, you know, so in this bubble, so to speak. And I look at the movie. Now, not because the movie was bad. There were some curse words and things like that. But not because the movie itself was bad, you know, and bad story or anything like that. But after the movie was over, it was a long one. Man, I can't understand how people sit and look at it. Honestly, I'm not a movie person. And it was long. I was just waiting for the movie to get over. You know, it just seemed like it was forever. Man, you think it's getting over, and all of a sudden you come up with another plot, and you go, sit around and wait for this to get over. You know, see how it is going to end. But anyway, after I went to bed that night, I went in, got in bed, And man, just like that peace just drained from me. And I said, God, I'm sorry. Not because it was bad to look at a movie. Don't misunderstand. You want to look at it, that's fine. Don't misunderstand. But to me, it just drained the life out of me. And I felt that peace had just left. And I started weeping a bit. I said, God, I'll never do that again. I'll never do it again. Don't misunderstand. If you want to look at it, it's fine. I'm not saying it's wrong or anything. But to me, at that particular time, I needed to have more strength from God than I needed to have these things in my mind. You understand? I don't know how to describe it in a difference. And I said, God, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't realize that was going to happen. I said, but the peace is gone. And I said, God, I can't live without that. I can't survive without you. I said, give me the peace back again. I said, I'll never do that again. And that peace, within half a minute, just flooded in again. And I just felt, oh, thank God. Thank God. See, because the devil can get things in your mind, get you off the things of God, he'll defeat you every time. I had all kinds of verses here. Go over to Matthew again. Well, I can just quote it to you. Matthew chapter 16 there. Jesus came to the coast of Philippi. I preached a month or so ago, and I mentioned the same verse, actually. But it's a little different thought on it now. Everybody knows that when you read God's word, sometimes there's layers of truth. You preach at it one time, you figure you covered it all, you look back at it again, you see something else. There's different layers. You dig deeper. It gets better and better. And anyway, Jesus going through, he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And this is just before Jesus is going to be crucified. He's just working his way towards Jerusalem. And he said to his disciples, he said, you know, you fellows are amongst the people. Who do people think that I am? Who do they say I am? And they said, well, some think you're Moses or Jeremiah or, you know, John the Baptist came back from the dead, or one of the other prophets. You know, people don't really know who you are. They know you're a prophet, but who are you? You know? And Jesus said to me, he said, but, okay, you fellows, what do you fellows? I mean, this is his disciples, 12 apostles. He said, what do you fellows think? He said, who do you say I am? And Peter just blurted right out, Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the one that we've been waiting for. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus turned to me and said, Peter, that's pretty good. He said, because you never got that on your own. He said, my Father in heaven revealed that to you. Now get this, he had the mind of God at the time. You understand that? He had the mind of God. He was agreeing with God. He wasn't contradicting what God said. God said, this is my Son. And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just a few verses down. You know the story anyway, but just, you know, just a few verses down. Jesus said, now, he said, I want to tell you, he said, we're heading towards Jerusalem. And he said, when I get there, he said, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful people. He said, they're going to beat me, they're going to strip me, they're going to, you know, mock me. He said, I'll be crucified. And he said, I'll rise again on the third day. And the Bible says, now, Peter just had the mind of God. He was agreeing with God. All of a sudden, Peter speaks up. He said, no, sir. Be that far from you, Lord. And he start to rebuke Jesus. You ever tell God sometimes you don't know what he's doing? When you're praying sometimes and, you know, you say, God, you know, I just want this work out this way. And you set a time in your mind. You say, tomorrow morning I'm going to believe God for this. Don't act super spiritual there because you've all done stuff like this. I'm going to believe God for such and such. And you wake up in the morning and nothing has changed. And you say, God, what happened? You know, I believed and I did everything you told me to do in your word. And I did this and this and this and this. How come you never worked for me? How come it never worked? And we start to contradict God because we think God's got to do it our way. You understand? You know, and Peter stood up and Jesus said, you know, this is going to happen. I'm going to be crucified and rising. And Peter got up and he said, no, that's not going to happen, Lord. That's not going to happen. You start to contradict God. And notice what Jesus said to him. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Where did that come from? From Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And notice what he says. He said, because you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. See, the devil plays with your mind. Plays with your mind. The Bible tells us to cast down imaginations and thoughts and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because you know God is a good God. You know His word is true. You know that what He said is going to come to pass. But the devil will try to bring things in your life that's going to exalt itself against your knowledge of God and get you to contradict what God said. So let's be careful. We don't contradict God. Don't allow the enemy to come in and contradict what God said in His word. I got so many verses, I don't even know where to start. Where to end. So don't get nervous, I'm ending. I listened to one fellow preach a while ago. He said, we're allowed three times to say we're finished. And he said, after that, it becomes a lie. So it was only the first time. We're ending, okay? But when God says something about us, we got to start thinking what God, we got to start believing what He said. What God thinks about me, I got to start thinking that way. Paul says in Romans, he said, you know, Jesus died. He said, when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. In Romans chapter 6, he said, when Jesus came back from the dead, he said, you came back from the dead. He said, now that's how God sees you. Now you start to reckon yourself that way. You start to think yourself that way. You start to reason that you're that way. As God thinks, that's how we got to think. If we can't get this lined up with God's this, we're in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Because the devil will use anything to contradict God's word. And so we got to reckon ourselves dead to sin. I heard one fellow said, he said, you know, sin at one time used to bother him. He couldn't get away from it. He couldn't get break the habits. He said, but the closer you draw to Jesus and realize that He's everything you need, everything you want is wrapped up in Him, all your desires, everything that you think you need, other things in your body just to satisfy a certain desire, the more you get close to Jesus and fall in love with Him and see how precious He is, all these other things drop off. And he says, sin to me now. And this is what he said. He says, sin to me now is like a third shoe. He said, I got no use for it anymore. You know, because you can't, why do you need it when you got everything in Jesus? But see, as long as we allow the devil to start Jesus and the cares of this world, the pleasures and the deceitfulness of riches, take us away from the Word of God. And then we start saying, well, I need to do this to keep my body happy. I need to do this. I got this habit I can't break. I got this problem I got to deal with because I just can't live without it. See, that's contradicting what God says. That's a contradiction. That's what the devil's putting into your mind. This is why you have to keep saying, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not because of what I'm doing. It's because of what Jesus has done for me. He's given me His righteousness. The devil says, you don't look very righteous when you're going around, you know, smoking dope or drinking beer or whatever, you know, looking at pornography or whatever. You don't look very righteous. But that's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I'm not saying these things are righteous. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But the more you understand your righteousness, these things will drop off. Jesus, if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the other things be added to you. You understand that? Don't allow the devil to come in and try. See, God says, He said, I know the thoughts. In Jeremiah chapter 29 there, I just went into a few of these quick. He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace, thoughts to bless you, prosper you, and all these different translations refer to it in a different way. You know, and that's God's thoughts. Now, I got to get my thinking lined up with God's thoughts and think, well, God wants to bless me. God loves me. Over in John chapter 17, Jesus said, He said, God loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. I got to get my thinking lined up with that because I don't even think that way. That's so far from my thinking, but I've got to get my thinking lined up with what God thinks about me. You understand? So there's all these different things. You know, sometimes we say, and the devil always comes, and sometimes he won't come to you and say, you can't do that, or you are this, or you are bad, or you are weak, or you are, you know, insignificant, or whatever. He'll change it to the first person, so to speak, and it gets into your mind, and you start thinking, I'm weak, I'm poor, I'm insignificant, I can't. You know, and the devil will come in and work it from that perspective. And we read in the scriptures that God says, I'm the Lord that heals you. You are the healed of the Lord. And so if yeah, but you don't know what the doctor said. You don't know how bad this is, you know? And we start to contradict what God said about us. God says, you know, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but that's not going to work for me. See, the devil get you away from contradicting God's word. You say, there's a new job opening, and I think I'm going to apply for that job. And the devil comes in, yeah, but everybody in my family never ever got a job like that. I'm going to go to university. I'm going to go to college. Nobody else in the family's on that, so who do you think you are? And he'll wear you down every time. He'll get you sidetracked every time. Well, there's a new promotion coming up at work. Yeah, but I always get passed over. And the devil would always contradict what God says, what he wants to do in our lives. So we got to be very careful. Don't allow the devil to keep contradicting God's word in your mind. There's other verses there in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're not going to get into it. Lunch is getting ready. Remember Brother Albert said that? I keep going back to that now. So I never lied. We're going to close. But I say to you today, don't allow the devil to contradict God in your mind. Hear what God says, and the minute the thought starts coming, I'll never make it on my own. I'll never be able to do this. I'll never be able to continue like this. Don't allow the devil to come in and say things like that when God says, listen, I've called you, I've anointed you, I've raised you up. Whatever the case might be in your life, God's got a plan for every last one of us. God said, I know the thoughts that I have for you, the plans to bless you, prosper you, keep you in peace, give you a good expected end. Long life, I'll satisfy you. Kenneth Hagin one time, somebody said to him, he said, what does it mean? With long life, I'll satisfy you. He said, if you hear I died, he said, it means I'm satisfied. He said, I was living long enough. He said, I'm satisfied to go home. With long life, he'll satisfy us. We need to get to the place that we believe what God said about us more than we believe what we think about in our own mind or what the devil's saying to us. Don't contradict God's word. Don't contradict what God says.